Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, to trust in you with all our hearts. For as you always resist the proud who confide in their own strength, so you never forsake those who make their boast of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you're not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be as to you a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am among them." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
It is so good to see you today and to get back to our routine. Back at 11 o'clock. I have a friend named Richard. Richard grew up in a rather idyllic family. It was him and his little brother. They had a stay-at-home mom, and their father was a practicing physician. Richard fought some with his brother, but most of the time they got along, and his mother was very loving and always present. Richard remembers baking cookies with her, how much he loved to bake cookies with her. And one of his favorite parts of the day was when his dad would come home in the evenings. He would run up to his dad, grab his legs, and hug them. And then he would pull his dad into the living room, and they would wrestle on the floor. Richard grew up, graduated from college, went to law school, and towards the end of law school, something happened that caused him to call his whole childhood into question. All of a sudden, out of the blue, Richard's father decided to leave his mother and his sons forever. He had met a young woman who was 20 years younger and wanted to start another family, start all over again. Richard got a letter from his father in the mail. "You used to come up and grab me around my legs when I got home from work, And I always found it so annoying and exhausting, his father said. I'm tired of your mother and the way that she nags me, and I'm done. I have raised you. You are an adult, and I no longer am responsible for you at all. I am no longer your dad. Richard told me this story almost 30 years after receiving the letter from his father, and it still hurt. 10 years after he received the letter, he heard that his father was having health problems and was in the hospital. He rushed to the hospital room, and his father told him to leave. He didn't even know that his dad died until a friend read it in the obituaries. Richard would wonder. He would go through his childhood over and over again and wonder, why had his father never communicated with them? If he was frustrated or annoyed, why didn't he say something? Why did he let his resentment grow and grow and then just completely give up? There is a myth that exists in all Christian denominations, from the very liberal to the very conservative. The myth is this: if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus, then you should get along with everyone. A truly devout and good follower of Jesus never has conflict in their life. Their life is harmony and peace, and there are no broken relationships. And part of the myth, the part that burrows itself into each one of your heads, is that if there is a broken relationship in your life, that you have done something terrible. It is a myth. Conflict and broken relationships are part of the human condition. For you to avoid conflict would be like you walking outside right now and trying to walk between the raindrops. There is no way that you can live on this earth without experiencing conflict and broken relationships. And it does not mean that you are not a faithful person. Conflict. I'm not talking about abuse or violence. I'm talking about conflict. Disagreement, hurt feelings, arguments, the struggle to communicate. Difference of will. This is unavoidable. Sometimes, when I witness two people in the church disagreeing or struggling with one another, I can almost see it. I can almost visualize a wall of glass that exists between the two individuals. Do you remember how St. Paul said, we see through a glass dimly? Do you remember that? Sometimes when people are in conflict, it is as if they are looking at one another through this wall of glass, and each one thinks that the glass is completely transparent. Each one thinks that they are seeing the other with clarity, with objectiveness. But in reality, the glass warps their perspective. It's like putting on a pair of glasses that aren't your prescription. And so, someone will be looking at the person that they are struggling with, and they think they see where that person stands and who that person is, but in reality, their vision is warped. It's warped by what we call human sin, by the hurts that have happened to us, perhaps in our childhood or through our life, by the patterns that recur in our life. And often, we can't even see one another clearly. In today's gospel, Jesus gives us a very clear and simple set of instructions for what to do when, and I say when, not if, you encounter conflict in your life. The instructions are so very simple, you'll be able to walk out of here and remember them. And yet, they're incredibly hard to do. The first piece of instruction that Jesus gives us, when someone wrongs you or sins against you or hurts you, the very first thing that you are instructed to do is to go directly to the one who has hurt you and speak to them. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But how many of you, myself included, like to pretend that nothing happened? And then I wonder why I feel depressed, or why I'm yelling at my family. Or how many of you find it so much easier to tell every other person in your life rather than the one who's actually hurt you? How much easier is it for us to complain to our friends or our spouse or our teachers or whoever? It is so much easier to tell everybody else that we've been wronged rather than to face the person who actually did it to us. But Jesus is very clear. You are not to talk to anyone else except the person who hurt you, and you're to talk to them alone. But you are not to avoid it, you are not to run away, and you're not to pretend it didn't happen. That doesn't work. Look at Richard's dad. For years he pretended he wasn't struggling, and it didn't work. How many relationships could we restore so quickly if we simply communicate, and not in an accusatory way, but just say, you hurt my feelings? So many relationships could be so quickly restored if we didn't avoid conflict and communicated directly with the one who hurt us. Sometimes, though, you will go and talk to the one who hurt you, and they will not agree, they will not take responsibility, they may be angry at you and blame you. So the second step that Jesus gives us is then we are to bring with us some listeners. Go back again, but bring with you some objective people, some people who can help with your communication. And if that doesn't work, then tell it to the church. The word Jesus used means ecclesia, community. Air the conflict, let it be known. And if that doesn't work, and this is the hardest one of all, if you cannot reconcile with the one who hurts you, and if you have tried 3 times or more, then you must stop. Then you must say goodbye. Jesus says the person is to be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Jews didn't speak to Gentiles or tax collectors. If you cannot reconcile or resolve, stop. Paul says, sometimes the way we love our neighbor is just by causing them no harm. Conflict, if it goes on and on and on, becomes obsessive and hurtful. It becomes cyclical and unresolved perpetually. Hear me when I say that it is okay for you to have people in your life that you cannot relate to. Just because you are a faithful follower of Jesus does not mean that you have to try to please everyone, especially if they hurt you continually. If you cannot resolve it, if the hurt does not stop, then say goodbye. There's only one thing you can do in that instance, and that is to pray for the person. Jesus tells us, pray for your enemies. Continue to pray for them, but stop trying to work on the relationship. Let it go. The word for forgiveness, you know, it doesn't mean getting along with someone. The word means letting go, not holding on to something, but letting it go. Jesus finishes by saying something very mystical and very important. He says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, your relationships are not just about you feeling good or having a good time or having friends. They are about your salvation. Your relationships impact your relationship with God. If you hurt people, you are hurting your relationship with God. The people that you bind to yourself in love, they will be part of the landscape of heaven. After all, it wouldn't be heaven if they weren't there, right? And every once in a while, two people or three people will truly communicate with one another, truly listen, truly hear. And it is almost as if that wall of glass is lifted for a moment. And in that moment, when you are truly present with someone else, Jesus says that God is there. When two or three are gathered, and when they truly hear each other, God is there. That is the body of Christ at work. So work on your relationships, okay? And I wish it wasn't so hard, but it is. You have to really work at your relationships. This is church. It's not heaven. Remember that conflict is part of who we are right now. But with effort and faithfulness, you can know great love, and you can truly be present with another person. And in that moment, God is there. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, you call us to love you and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Yet we live in a broken world. Show us how to love you here in the urban core of Jacksonville. Merciful God,
help us to love at the core.
Bless the nations of the earth. Help us to treat one another with kindness and justice. We pray especially for peace in the Middle East and an end to the violence in Central America. I invite you to speak aloud your petitions for the world.
We pray for the family of journalist Stephen Sotloff, who was executed in Syria by ISIS. We pray for our Christian brothers and sisters in the Middle East and for all who suffer under the threat of violence.
Merciful God,
help us to love at the core.
Bless all those who are sick, hungry, lonely, or suffering in any way. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who need our prayers.
For Paul Ellis, whose sister died. Barbara. Jackie.
Merciful God,
help us to love at the core.
We pray for the church throughout the world, especially for the Christians of the Middle East and for this congregation here in the heart of the city. I invite you to speak aloud your petitions for the church and this city.
We give you thanks for all the people who are taking part in the Discovery Weekend here in Tolliver Hall this weekend.
Merciful God,
help us to love at the core.
Bless those who have died. May they see you face to face. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died.
Susan.
Merciful God,
help us to love at the core. Merciful God, help us to understand that conflict is part of our fallen world. Help us to work hard to follow your words and to work on our relationships so that we may grow in love and service to you. This we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. We're so glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting and you keep your hand up high, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to hold it up so they can find you. We're so glad that you're here. Please don't be shy and hold your hand up high, and the ushers will bring you a gift. And when they bring it, then you can put your hand down. Thank you for keeping them up. Welcome so much to all of you. We're so glad you're here. We kicked off our pledge drive on Rally Day, and you will be here getting some letters in the mail, hopefully a few videos. If you're not receiving videos from me, call the church and make sure you're on our correct email list. I wrote an article on your jacket of your bulletin today about some wonderful things that are happening. We have just gotten a grant from the Jesse Ball DuPont Fund to hire a full-time development director here at the cathedral. So that person will help us to figure out how we can build our endowments to sustain this beautiful historic building for many years to come. We also are developing what's called a legacy society. So those who've left the cathedral in their wills will be part of that society. If you're interested, speaking of wills, of issues of death and dying or aging, next Saturday morning at 8:30, we will be offering a panel workshop with lawyers, doctors, nurses, priests, talking about end-of-life issues. How do you make plans? How do you care for your loved ones? So come next Saturday if you're interested. Also, Wednesday nights have started up. We have full dinner, childcare, lots of great classes. Especially if you're newer or if you want to renew your understanding of our faith tradition, I teach a class at 6 o'clock on Wednesday nights called Basic A. I'd love to have you join me. It's a great opportunity for me to sit down and actually get to know a few of you. So if you can come, please think of that. We need coffee hour angels. If you can help with coffee hour, there is an easel. Sue, it says Tolliver Hall, but Discovery Weekend is in Tolliver Hall. Is the easel somewhere else? Just where the coffee is. Got it. Perfect. This Thursday is September 11th, and I know that many of you, like me, I find myself remembering what happened, praying, wishing for peace in the world. And we have a beautiful concert here that evening. A Sister Cities concert where children from public schools all over the area will be singing. So if you'd like to come at 6 o'clock on Thursday night to pray with us, you're more than welcome. Also, a little piece of instruction for the Eucharist today. We're going to do something new. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer. Okay? So in your bulletin, it tells you where you can look up the Lord's Prayer so that you can sing along with us. It's a very ancient practice to sing prayer. Some people say singing is like praying twice. We'll see. And we're just trying this out, and let me know how it feels, what you think, okay? Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For through Jesus Christ, you have given us the church as a community of love, and you call us to care for one another with compassion and grace in his name. Through him, you give us authority in matters of heaven and earth, and in him, you promise to be among us always. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation. In the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we will sing together in the S section, the beginning part of your hymnal, S119.
Thank you.
These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.